Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as you probably know, if you are a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, we are in the first epistle of Peter. We are looking at verses 8 and 9, where Peter talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we are seeing the elements that lead to this joy. And Peter puts them together in a package that is familiar to us with these words, faith, hope, and love. The same words that Paul used in 1 Corinthians 13 when he said, "Now abide these three," after he talked about things that pass away, but now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And Peter talks about these as well and indicates that when these things are operating in a significant measure in the hearts of God's people, the result is a joy unspeakable or inexpressible, whichever you prefer, and full of glory. A heart full of joy. Now, I'm sure I'm talking to Christians who don't feel much joy. And the problem is maybe twofold. Number one, we tend to be too influenced by our circumstances rather than by truth. You say, well, circumstances are true. Well, they are. They are your present reality. But I'm talking about influenced by circumstances to view life according to the circumstances, to view, view reality according to the circumstances, rather than viewing reality according to the truth of God's Word. We tend to believe what we see more than what the Bible tells us. Isn't that the truth? So that's one problem. And that certainly will cut into our joy. And the second one is that we don't have as full a development of faith, love, and hope as we should. In fact, number one and number two are closely linked together, particularly in that word faith, because the faith we need to develop is a faith in the Word of God that causes us to believe God even when we can't see the reality of what God has spoken. We trust Him to believe that it is true, and we live our lives accordingly. That becomes reality for the child of God. For the unbeliever, that's not reality, and he thinks the Christian is foolish to act as if it is. But if we really believe the Bible, if we believe it is the Word of God, if we believe that God has revealed Himself and His will in His Word, if we believe that God is an omniscient God, a righteous God, a truthful God, if we believe that His Word is truth, as Jesus said it was in John 17, then we will believe God's Word more than we believe what our eyes see and our ears hear. Imagine that. But that is exactly what faith calls upon us to do, and we must develop faith, hope, and love if we are going to experience this joy inexpressible and full of glory. So, we'll continue in that vein on this Monday, February 4. Thank you for joining me, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts allow us to continue to teach God's Word on this station. We've covered three aspects of saving faith, and we come to the fourth one today. The first three are, number one, the object of our faith, which is primarily the Word of God. It's hard to separate the Word of God from the God of the Word, and so in one manner of speaking, we can say that the object of our faith is God Himself, either in the triune Godhead or specifically in the person of Jesus Christ, God the Son, who was sent to earth and to become the object of our faith in a very unique and special way. And that's why we are Christians, because we are followers of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ being the second person of the triune Godhead. So the object of our faith is the Word of God, which reveals to us God. What would we know about Jesus Christ apart from the Bible? Anything? And if we knew anything, would it be reliable? Absolutely not. So the only reliable thing we know about God or about Christ is found in the Word of God. So that brings us right back to concentrating on one object for the moment of our faith, and that is the Word of God. Faith is believing the Word of God and acting accordingly. So the object of our faith. Number two, the spirituality of our faith, because it goes on to talk about Jesus Christ in terms like this, whom having not seen, we love. We haven't seen Him. And I talked about that earlier. We haven't seen Jesus Christ. So does that mean that He's less real than the things that we do see? Does that mean that Jesus Christ is less real than the people that we do see and is less real than the events that are transpiring around us? Well, faith tells us that Jesus Christ is real, and He is the ultimate reality over all these things. But it is faith that causes us to believe that. And so our faith has a spiritual dimension to it, whom having not seen, we love. And all of these realities, many of them, I should say, many of the things that are given to us in the Bible are things that we have not seen yet. But God says we shall. Do we believe Him? Do we believe that heaven is real? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is real? If we don't, we're not Christians. And if we don't, we have no salvation. And if we do, then we will act differently than those who don't. So, the object of our faith is the Word of God, and the spirituality of our faith is believing in things unseen, not just anything unseen. It isn't biblical faith to believe in fairies and elves and witches and Santa Claus, things that we've never seen. And some people think that faith in those things is the same as faith in Jesus Christ, and one is as valid as another, and that we can more or less make up our religious concepts and believe them, and that that's faith. But it's not, at least not the kind of faith that the Bible is talking about. But there is a spiritual dimension to Bible faith, and there are many things that we have not seen with our physical eyes. But that doesn't mean they're not true or not real. The third thing that we talked about is the continuation of our faith, the perseverance of our faith, and that was an emphasis upon the phrase yet believing. We are still believing, present participle, and so if you have believed truly with saving faith, then you are continuing to believe. But now we come to number four, which is the goal of our faith. And what is the goal? What is the reason for this exercise of faith? Well, it is, in short, a full view of Jesus Christ. We do not see Him now, but what does that imply? We will see Him someday. This text does not say, you will never see Him, whom having not seen and never will see, nevertheless you love. It doesn't say that. It says, whom having not seen, and it goes on to say, you do not see Him now. So presently you don't, but in the future you will. And of course other scriptures bear this out. And so what is the goal of our faith? Well, the goal of our faith is a full view of Jesus Christ. And what is one of the lesser goals, I suppose you might say, of our faith here upon the earth? Because, of course, our full view of Jesus Christ awaits the time when we are with him in heaven, in his very presence, and we see him, as the Bible puts it, face to face. And that's a good way to put it. We all know what that means. To be face to face with someone means to be in their immediate presence and looking at them, listening to them. No question about their reality in that circumstance. Well, that's the way we are going to see Jesus Christ someday if we are believing in him now. Now we believe in him whom, having not seen, we love. We love him because we believe in him. We believe what the Bible says about him, and we are responding to his work within our souls. We love him because he first loved us. We know he's real. I recognize that there are some dangers in talking about what we feel as opposed to what we know on the pages of Scripture as being the object of our faith, but there is this unseen spiritual dimension to it all that we cannot totally dismiss. And there are some things that are made real to us by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that we just have to say, I believe this to be true because I am settled in my soul that it is true. And the only explanation I have for that is that God must have given me that assurance because I don't know any other explanation for it, but I can promise you I am confident that this is true. To be a little more specific, how do we know that the Bible is God's Word? It claims to be. So you've got to assess that claim. Is that claim true or is it false? Holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Is that true or false? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is that true or is it false? God's Word is truth. There is something that can be called the Word of God. It is the Bible, and it is truth, no error. That's the claim. Is that correct, or is that a false claim? We're all going to have to come to some decision about that. And frankly, apart from a work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the decision we'll come to is, I question that, I doubt that, I don't believe that, I just can't believe that. But when God does a work in our heart, and in this way does a work in our heart, when God makes us feel the power of his word in our soul, so that in some inexplainable way, I'm going to try to explain it, but frankly it passes beyond full explanation, in some inexplainable way, we know God has spoken to us. Not because we've heard his voice in the middle of the night, speaking to us like Samuel did of old, not because we've had a vision or had a dream, but because as we have been reading God's Word, and maybe even more likely as we have been hearing it preached, it has not just come to us like any other word, any other book, it has come to us in power. A power that we recognized as the power of God, the very God of the universe, speaking to my soul through his Word, the Bible, and that's what assures us that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, we look at these claims and we decide them in favor of the claim that the Bible makes. We believe that these claims are true because we felt the power of it in our souls. And that's how we know these things are true. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.